God's setting everything up all the time, man. And we just have to keep seeing life from his perspective. So that's where we're at. 3 weeks ago, God put on my heart to start talking about Christmas. And the first week we looked at it, we looked at Philippians chapter 2, and we looked back to see what God did for us, how Christ came and left the riches of heaven and put on the rags of humanity. And you can go back and either watch that or you can go back and read it yourself in Philippians chapter 2. But we looked back. This last week, we looked forward, and God took us into the book of Isaiah, where he showed us what the millennial kingdom will be like when he's in total control, and then on into eternity, where Christ will be the governor in a perfect government. Anybody ready for a perfect government? Right, and in that, he's the wonderful counselor. Remember that word, wonderful? I like that word a lot. If you are wonderful, you are full of what? So everything that Christ does in that millennial kingdom, everything he does in eternity is going to make us full of wonder. We're just going to be like, wow. I mean, we're just going to be blown away by everything, every moment of every day. Wonderful counselor, went on Mighty God. He's just totally in charge. He's a Lord. We'll look at that a little bit more today. Eternal Father. Not only makes things new, but as we even looked at on Wednesday night in our Bible study, things are new, but they continue to be new. They never wear out, you know, and they're just always new. So he's the eternal Father. He can continually make stuff. He's the originator of everything that's going to be eternal. And we looked at Prince of Peace, the thing the world's looking for. Governments can give you that outside peace. They can try to make peace and make your side win, and you feel good about it. But man, what governments can't give you is that stuff on the inside, right? Man, that peace that's on the inside, that's what he can give you now. And you can have as much of this millennial kingdom in your life as you want right now if you will simply surrender. The more we crucify the flesh, the more we can have that inside. But one day, man, we're not going to be able to sin. We're not going to have an opportunity. We're not going to have a desire. Man, everything's going to be brand new. Everything's going to be perfect. And that's what we're looking forward to. So we've looked back, we look forward. And then now today, we're going to look out of Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look in so that we can look out, man. We're going to look into us, and we're going to see the gospel. We're going to see the angels' announcement to the shepherds and what it's all about. That really, we need to look in and make sure that we are saved. And once we're saved, dude, and you know you're saved, and you know that you have Jesus Christ, you know you have that eternal home, then you can look out, and that's why he left us here again. As JJ was sharing, he got a bunch of new shirts and sweatshirts and all that stuff in. We don't do that to raise money, but the idea of it is really so you can share the gospel. Again, these colors right here get to share the gospel a lot. The black is you know, first of all, I start with the gold. And again, the gold represents what? Heaven, the streets of gold in heaven. One day, that's going to be heaven, the streets of gold. But that's my home. It wasn't always my home. The black represents the sin that I brought into this, came into this world with. I came into this world as a sinner, sinner's sin. And so I couldn't cover the sin up. I couldn't take it away. But one day, God gave me the desire and ability to put my faith in what Jesus Christ, the red, the blood of Christ, put my faith in what he did on the cross. Realizing there's nothing. I've blown perfection. There's no way I can ever achieve it back. I rob God of glory. I can never give him the glory back. But Christ, with what he did and what we're going to look at and what is prophesied about, man, he gave God the glory back, and that can be applied to my life. So the gold represents the fact that I have a home in heaven, but it wasn't that way always. The black represents my part, that I had sin. I couldn't cover it up. I couldn't take it away. But Christ came and lived on this earth a perfect life, and he died a sinner. He died so he could take our sinful life and give us his perfect life, and that's what the red represents. So because of that, I have a home in heaven. But the green reminds me of why I'm here. And with every situation that I face in life, if I see it from his perspective, if I live for him and live that new resurrected, powerful life that he's given me, and I live that out, I can grow more in love with him. And the Bible teaches that if I grow more in love with him, I grow more in love with others. So That's what these colors represent. So the gold represents what? Heaven. The black represents sin. The red represents the blood. And the green represents growth in him. And that's why we share it. So that's really what this is all about. We've got it a lot of different places. And that's kind of where we're at with that. So that's really what Christmas is about. So in this, he's left us behind. If you're a believer, he's left us behind so that we can share this good news. And that's what we're going to look at through the shepherds there. And there's really three things in being able to share the good news. One is you need to share with people that it's needed. It's needed. Number two, it's been provided. And number three, it's been accepted. Y'all got that? That's pretty simple, right? So many, if I were to go back and say, how many of y'all who are saved? Raise your hand. You know, how many of y'all know you're going to heaven when you die because of Christ? Yes. How many of y'all shared the gospel yesterday? How many shared last week? How many of you have shared? And most believers are like, they're scared. Who do you think's making you afraid to share the gospel? The good news. The world has bad news. Who's making you afraid of sharing the good news? Exactly. It's certainly not God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we look at this, you're going to again see this is what we're here for, is to share the gospel. And so there's all kinds of, you know, this isn't about tricks. This isn't about psychology. But it's simply being able to share the truth. And if you can remember that when you share it, that somebody's got to understand they need it. It's been provided and it's been accepted. So how many of y'all think you can remember that? It's what? What's the first one? Needed. It's been provided. And it must be accepted. And we'll look at that in here. And it's not even something you can do. Dude, check this out. You're not a lawyer. Did God call you to be a lawyer, Stephen? Is that what he called you? No. What did God call us to be? Not lawyers, but what? What? Witnesses, right. Yeah, how many of y'all have ever been a witness in court? Let me see your hand. You're like, oh, I didn't put my hand up for that. Yeah, a witness in court, right? Benjamin, you're a witness in court. What did you have to do when you were a witness in court? The lawyer came up and they put you on the stand. And what did they ask you to do, Benjamin? Testify what? To the facts. What you experienced, what you knew, what was part of you. That's all you were asked to do. Were you asked to present a case? In fact, I have been a witness on a witness stand before, and I don't like lawyers. I don't like the questions they ask. They're like, well, Mr. Frederick, if answer yes or no. And I'm like, no, I can't. No, if I answer yes or no, you're not going to get the truth. And the judge is like, you just answer him. I'm like, but it's not going to give the correct answer. They don't like me on the witness stand. So if y'all ever need me for that, don't call me, because I'll probably create havoc. I don't like it to answer yes or no. And they've got an agenda. It's like, no, I can't. I want to if I'm a witness, I want you to know the truth. Amen. Man, that's what it's about. Now, what if you were on the stand, Benjamin, and all of a sudden you started presenting a case as a lawyer? Well, let me ask you this. And what would the judge do if you're now questioning the lawyer? They would tell you to stop, because you're not a lawyer. You're a witness. And it's the same thing in this life. All God's asking us to do is share with others what he shared with us. Man, but yet the devil wants us afraid. He wants us scared. But man, you know what you have, and that's what we're going to look at with these shepherds. That's all he wants us to do, is share with others what he's done for us. In fact, before Jesus was ascended, before he finally went away, his last words to the church, we call it the Great Commission. He says, as you are going through the world, as you're going, wherever you go, he says, make what? Disciples, make disciples. And he's the one that's going to make them. You're just a witness that's sharing with them how to do that. Make disciples. Baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit says bringing them into a body. This is the body, not just here, but meeting all over the place. But baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But look at what he says. In case you forgot what making disciples is, it's teaching others to observe what I've taught you. So Brad, man, if I'm going to teach others what God has taught me, what must be true about me every day? Yes, God. For those of y'all that are new, if you get caught like a deer in the headlights and you don't really like, if I call on you, man, just say, God. Yeah, God, it's true. So if I'm going to teach others what God has taught me, what do I have to be doing on a daily basis?
You're a smart boy. No, but yeah, I gotta be constantly learning. I'm constantly walking with. How many of y'all have heard from God in the last week? Amen. Oh, what's wrong with the rest of y'all? Y'all gonna need a hearing aid or what? No, I'm just saying, when we're walking with him, he's constantly teaching us. He's constantly feeding us. He's constantly empowering. That's what we walk with him, and we just share what he's doing. And so, but we've got to be learning. And I fear that many, many people who think they are believers that have absolutely no intimate relationship with God, meaning they can go weeks without hearing from God. Man, they can you go weeks without eating? Can you go weeks without, man, I fear that that's the Matthew chapter 7 church that all gets put in the other line. They're like, didn't I prophesy in your name? Wait, Matthew chapter 7, go read it. Didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I do mighty miracles in your name? He said, yes, but I never knew you. I never had an intimate relationship with you. It was all about a religion. It was all about a pomp and circumstance. It was all about something you made up that wasn't biblical. And I never had a relationship with you. Be gone from me, he says, you workers of lawlessness. You thought you were doing all these religious things, but it wasn't what I asked you to do. You and I never had a relationship. And that's what we're going to talk about today in this. So let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. I'm just 1 through 7, I'm going to kind of, or the very beginning, I'm going to read through it. I'm not preaching through the first part. That might be next week. Next week's a few days before Christmas. I don't know. God hasn't given me those marching orders. But I have to read the first part just so you get the context and know what's kind of going on. You guys know this part, all right? It's by Luke. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. That was the first registration when Quirinius, the governor of Syria, Jesus, come back, and all went to be registered in their own town. Go ahead, you're good. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. That's the key, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. I'm not preaching on that today. That's the story you know. So here's what happened in a nutshell. Basically, you got Mary and Joseph, young couple. They're engaged, man. They're like you guys and like you guys. They're engaged. And they were younger than y'all, man. Megan, you're not like 13, are you? No, I'm just saying. good. That just doesn't work But that she's like probably 12, 13 years old. And he's not much older. They're engaged, but that's a legal binding thing. They haven't consummated their marriage yet. And again, I'm not preaching on this. Her whole job in this engagement was to not get pregnant. All right, that was her whole job. And then all of a sudden, she gets pregnant. But it's from the Holy Spirit. And she has to tell Joseph, but instead God tells Joseph. And here they are, and they're, I mean, all the turmoil. Because what was the penalty for being pregnant in that day and age outside of marriage? Death. Death was a penalty. And so God works all that out. But now God said, they're living way up in Nazareth, this little podunk place that doesn't even have a Dollar General. They're up there, and they got to get 60 miles down south to Bethlehem. Why? Because God said in his word, Bethlehem, Beth Lechem, the house of bread, is where the Messiah was going to be born. So he takes the most powerful man in the universe at this point, Caesar Augustus, and he makes a decree. He's like, I need some more taxes. And so everybody's got to go back to their homeland. So here, Mary didn't really have to go. But dude, what was she going to stay behind and be ostracized by all the people in Nazareth because she's pregnant and she's not married? You know, and Joseph, they were probably saying, let's get out of here. And they went down, and we don't know, they went on a donkey, don't know what they did, but it was a 4 to 5 day journey that they walked, and they finally got to Bethlehem, and all they really tell us here, dude, they got there, and the whole world is traveling. You ever try to travel? Brother, on a busy day? You'd live traveling, right? Don't you love Thanksgivings and right before those holiday weekends? You're just trying to go up to Atlanta and do some business, man, but it's packed. And that's the way it was. The whole world was packed. It wasn't some mean innkeeper like, no, I don't like Jesus, so you're not going to come. No, it wasn't. It had nothing to do with that. There was just no room. And so in a public place, you know, J.C. Park up here in Fort Pierce, they found a picnic table. They found a pavilion. Up at the jetty, they found Pavilion 1. Nobody reserved it. So, boom. Literally, seriously, that's what it was. Even the inn was just a place where travelers kind of come in and went and left and whatever. It wasn't like, you know, a hotel room like we're thinking of. But they ended up in a private park. There's Mary up on the picnic table with, you know, she didn't have cup holders for her feet like most of you pregnant ladies had, you know? I'm just saying, man, she had the baby out in a public place. But if you look at it, it was just them. At this point, there was Joseph, there was Mary, and there was Jesus. And crowds everywhere, but yet they had that intimacy of them just being alone. And all it says is she gave birth. Look at verse 7. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes like every other mother. And then she laid him in a what? Which is a what? A feeding trough. Dude, Benjamin, Kelly, man, we're watching your grand dog also, right? Emily and Skylar are on their way to the Philippines, actually, right now. That's not secret, is it? We can talk about the World Wide Web. Okay. I don't know. But anyways, we're watching their big old dog, man, right now. And that dog is not as neat of an eater and drinker as my dog is. And man, that dog, he goes up, it's like he's sucking a toilet dry when he drinks, man, when he's getting it dry. And then he's just got eyes everywhere. Like this morning, I go and I step and I'm like, whoa. And can you imagine? What's that dog's name again? Bentley. That's right, Bentley. Yeah, I'm just like still I'm still thinking about the slime I was in, man. Can you imagine a big dog trough, man? I mean, dog spit. I mean, but it wasn't dogs, it was cows. And so, can you imagine laying your brand new baby there, knowing that's the Messiah, knowing that it's the Savior of the world? And that's the key, is he laid him in a manger, man, in a feeding trough. But as Alan Teresa shared with us, whose design was that by? It was that what y'all would have chosen? No, dude. How many of you astute marketing people, man, you would have like had it all worked out, dude. You'd have had, JJ would have had it on Facebook. He'd have had it where, boom, it's coming in your condo whether you want it or not, because he knows how to get in all those. He's coming in, boom, boom. You'd have all this great marketing plan. This was God's marketing plan. Here it is, and I'm going to draw people to him. So you can know that if you love Jesus, it's because God picked you and he drew you to him. And one day, you'll be with him forever. So it just says he gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a dog bowl, in a feeding trough, because there was no place at the inn. And again, it wasn't because there was a mean innkeeper. It's like, dude, we got no place, man. So in a public park, there it went. So here now, they had this. Now we look at the shepherds, and we're going to see salvation's needed, salvation has been provided, and salvation, I got arthritis, it must be accepted. If I try to do that other finger, it might not work out for you guys. I'm sorry. So salvation is what? Salvation has been, and it must be. That's it. And God hooks you up with all of those. You just have to be a witness and share this. So salvation is needed. Watch this first part in the first couple of verses. You would not need the good news. That's what the gospel means. It's a word, a Greek word, euangelion. That's a fun word to say, right? Euangelion. And maybe I got a little southern twist to that, but euangelion, and it means good news. You wouldn't need good news if there wasn't any what? Bad news. And as I heard one preacher say once, the badder the bad news, the gooder the good news, right? If it's all equal like that, it's like, well, that's my preference. That's my preference. No, dude, we're talking about the most horrible news you could ever have for mankind. And then now the very best news you could ever have for mankind. It's not even close. One is an eternity in hell with misery forever, being separated from God and seeing God
and knowing you blew the opportunity to ever be helped by God. And you're in hell with the devil, who, what kind of mood's he going to be in when he's finally trapped down into the bottomless pit? He ain't going to be in a good mood at all. And this is for eternity, constant torment. This is what the Bible teaches about hell. People are like, oh no, man, I'm going to go party with all my friends, man. That's where we're all going to be. You ain't partying nothing. You're going to be in constant torment. And the Bible teaches, man, how many of y'all ever bit your tongue? Anybody ever bit your tongue? Everybody just say, ow. That hurts, right? Dude, could you imagine chewing on your tongue to escape the pain? And it's wailing and gnashing of teeth. How many? Oh, Bentley. He's kind of, he got used to Emily and them, and you know, he's got a story with some baggage, but Bentley will sit on the couch, and what, can you make the noises that he makes, Ben? You heard him in your shop. I heard he's not allowed at the shop anymore. But yeah, it's like, wait a minute, let me get this dog to shut up. I'm mother. But Bentley, yeah, he'll be there. Yeah, and Linda will try to pet him. So, but kid, that's just a little bit. Now, can you ever heard somebody wailing? Just wailing in agony. That's what's going on in hell forever. There's nothing good about it. And God did not design it for you. He designed it for the devil and his demons. He's made a way. That's what this good news. And I'm not going to go on much longer about the bad news, but I just want you to understand it's really, really bad news. You come into this world as a sinner. If you came into the world as a dog, what would you do? You'd bark. You come in this world as a sinner, so what do? You sin. That's what happens. And the wages of sin is eternal death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you come in, born into the family of Adam. You come into, born to sin, and sin breaks that perfection, and God requires perfection. He requires perfect righteousness, and you've already blown that, every one of you, me included. But at some point, he gives you the desire and ability to surrender yourself to him if you want. He gives you that desire, and if you want it, you can have it. And when you do that, he covers you with his blood. He covers you. He gives you his perfect life and takes your old one. That's what we've been learning in Romans. He gives you your old, he takes your old life. And now you are in Christ, and you have a home in heaven. So you don't have to stay in Adam's family. That's bad news. Everybody, it says in Revelation chapter 20, you can read it. Go home and read it. Read chapter 20, then read 21 and 22. And 21 and 22 are the most wonderful chapters in the entire universe, all about heaven. You read chapter 20, man, and it talks about the great white throne judgment. It talks about how all of a sudden, man, heaven and earth just pulled away. There was no room for him, and there's a throne, and the one sitting on the throne. Guess who's sitting on the throne, y'all? What's his name? Jesus, the baby. Only he's man, and he's God, and he's sitting on the throne. And they open the books, and the books have everybody's works in them. How many of y'all have got some blown perfection in those books? Yeah. And so the books are open, and then he says he opens a book, one book. You can read it in chapter 20. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to do this. Go read it. He opens the book, which is the book of life, which is where your name goes when you give your life to Christ, because he gave you the desire, because you realized salvation was needed, it had been provided, and now you accepted it. Your name goes in the book of life, and he says at the end of that great white throne judgment, everyone whose name was not written in the book, singular, is cast into the lake of fire. That's the eternal abode. And then all of a sudden, chapter 21 and 22, and now I saw a brand new heaven and a brand new earth, man, a brand new Jerusalem. I see it coming down looking like a bride adorned for her groom, man. And he just describes our eternal home because God gave us the desire and ability to give our life to Christ. He even gave us the ability to accept it, man. I don't understand the whole thing, but man, because of him, I have that home in heaven. So there's the bad or the bad news, the good or the good news. Amen? That's what we got to understand. And we don't want to think about that. That's why we come up with some kind of funky religion, comfortable Christianity in the middle here that's not biblical. And that's why Matthew chapter 7 says that there's a narrow gate that very few go through, and there's a wide gate that many go through that's the path to destruction. And the majority of what people call the church are going to hell. That's not me saying that. That is what the Word of God says. Make sure that you have an intimate relationship with the living God. Salvation's needed. You wouldn't need the good news if there wasn't some really, really bad news. So let's look at it. JJ, let's go to verse 8. And in the same region as where they, you know, a couple miles away from Pepper Park, a couple miles away from the county park, you know, where Mary just gave birth, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. So there they are. It's dark. They're out there minding them, doing what they've done all over the place. Next verse. And an angel, one angel. Nobody's seen an angel in a long time, especially these guys. It's been 400 years. Zechariah saw one. Mary saw one. Joseph had a dream. But this wasn't common, man. 400 years, they haven't heard anything new from God. Oh, they're out there in the middle of field. Y'all ever been out? Y'all ever been just hanging out on the beach at night, watching the stars, man? Getting eaten by no-see-ums, man? No. You ever out there and you're just looking at it, man? You're just like, oh, this is great. New Smyrna, we used to be able to hang hammocks up in these cabanas down at Turtle Mound. And we used to have purple water come in, phosphorescence, man, back before they polluted everything. It was beautiful, man. But you're out there. Can you imagine just relaxing and all of a sudden an angel shows up? Hey, what does everybody say when an angel shows up, y'all? Oh, you're like, no. They go, right? Okay, let's try that again on the count of three. What does everybody say when an angel comes up? One, two, three. Yeah, and then they fall over. And then what does the angel say? I know the angels love this job. Oh, I get to go tell them, yeah. You know, they're like, watch this. And everybody's, and they fall over and they go, oh, don't be afraid. It's got to be a heavenly joke of some sort. But listen to this. This is evidence of the bad news. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about. What would happen right now if every one of us, if the glory of God, the full glory of God, came into this room? What would happen to us? We would die. We can't handle it. In Exodus, Moses wanted to see God. God said, get in the cave, Moses. God put his hand over the cave and walked by, you know, with his backside. And when Moses came out, dude, he had sunburn. We can't handle the glory of God, the full glory. When you see a beautiful sunrise, when you see something you have to attribute to God, that's all the glory you could handle at that point in time. That's it. One day we'll be able to handle all the full glory of God. Is that not going to be awesome? Because of Christ. But right now, it says the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were what? They were filled with what? Yeah, they were filled with a lot of stuff. I'm just saying, dude, can you imagine what would you be filled with if the angel God really appeared? The angel of the Lord, heavenly angel, appeared. Again, you know, everybody goes, they freak out. Why do they freak out? Because when they see something from heaven, they see perfect righteousness. They see God's real power, not some little, you know, like we're going to see in the plays and things. Not what we've assumed as angels and all our bad theology on angelology and all of that. Dude, you're going to see these are warriors. They're seeing godly warriors, these angels, man. It's not. Why do people freak out? Because of some little thing with, you know, like the tooth fairy? No. They're freaking out because they're knowing God is for real. The same reason people are freaking out at the great white throne judgment. This ain't playing. This isn't what I thought. This isn't what my imagination. This isn't what I was taught in Sunday school. No, it's what the Bible teaches. It's a fearful thing to come into the hands of the living God when you're not in an intimate relationship with Him. That's why we've preached this so hard. He wants you to be in that intimate relationship with Him and save you. So the angel of the Lord appeared to him. The glory of the Lord shone around, and they were filled with great what? Think about this. It's one thing to be filled with fear, right? Okay, I'm afraid. Woo, I'm afraid. What about great fear? What does that add to that? Great fear is more fear than just fear. And to be filled with great fear. Man, what are some words you would use? If you were filled with great fear, what would you be? Tom, you got a word that comes to mind? All of a sudden, you are filled with great fear. Your wife found out about the surfboard you just bought for yourself for Christmas. Oh, you would be what? Dude, you'd be paralyzed. Yeah. 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 Filled with, they're paralyzed because God is real. He's not some fairy tale. He's not some, like I said, little tooth fairy. He's not some, dude, they just see an angel of God, one of his created beings. It's supernatural, and people freak out. Can you imagine standing in front of God Almighty, rejecting what Christ did on the cross, your only way to salvation, and saying, God, I thought I'd make my own way. God, I didn't, you know, no. That's bad news. There is a righteous, holy God that you're going to stand in front of one day. And the only ones who are going to survive, according to Revelation chapter 20 in the Great White Throne Judgment, are those whose names are written in the book. All our names and deeds are written in the books. Isaiah, he said, man, if you just present your righteous deeds, give God all your best righteous deeds. He said, they're like filthy rags. He was talking about used menstrual rags, by the way. Your best deeds, that's what they are to God. You need Christ. He has the only righteous deeds that will cover you. The righteousness God demands, he provides. Can you imagine standing before him and saying you thought you'd provide something different? The angel of the Lord appeared to him, and glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to him, what did the angel say before he changes it? Don't be afraid. Yeah, and here it is. Angel said to him, fear not, for behold, I bring you what? What kind of news? How many of y'all are thinking this is really good news after what I just shared with you? The bad or the bad news, the better, the good or the good news is. And the angel said to him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Good news, euangelion, the gospel of great joy. That will be for who? How many of y'all are in all? How many of y'all qualify as an all? There you go. You're an all. So you need this good news because you qualify for the bad news. Again, it's not to depress you. It's to actually encourage you. It's what kind of news? Good news. You don't have to die and go to hell. That's not his plan. It's for the devil and his demons. There's good news. So again, how many of y'all want to go, and I'm not making light of this because I know you know people with it, and I know people, JJ's dealing with it right now. How many of y'all want to sign up and go get some chemo tomorrow? Come on, man, I'm going to have a chemo party. We're all going to go, and we're going to hook up a deal, money talks. Mac, you and Holly, you just got here, dude. Yo, oh, Bob and Renee. Hey, Bob and Renee, raise your hand right here. Bob and Renee, they are on our Monday night Bible study every week, and they're from upstate New York, and they're actually here in person today. Praise God. Woo! But I'm disappointed. Are y'all going to be here next week or are you going somewhere else? Are you going to actually wear your Christmas pajama suits? The last time I saw them, Christmas was on Sunday, and they were decked out, baby. So if you want to see that, come next week. But you guys, you just got here. Y'all want to go get some chemo tomorrow? Chemotherapy, man. Let's go get some poison injected in our bodies. No, none of us do. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to offend anybody at this point. Who's the only one who would want to go get chemo? Someone that has hope to think that that's going to kill the cancer. And so if you don't know you have a disease, you don't want the cure. That's why you got to know salvation is needed. Because if you don't know that you need it, then you could care less if it has been provided. Amen? You could care less if it's been provided. Dude, nobody wants to go get chemo tomorrow. People have to get it. So maybe it's part of their program of getting fixed. They don't want to get it tomorrow, but they know it's like maybe the only hope of getting fixed. So that's why it's so important that we got to know, that we know, that we know that we come in this world as a sinner and I need to be saved. What do you need to be saved from? I'm going to tell you, most people don't know what they need to be saved from. Oh, myself, my sin. No, you need to be saved from God's wrath. God Almighty, he has to put wrath on sin. Every sin we commit, past, present, future, he has to dump wrath on it. None of us could put up with that wrath. None of us could survive. We'd have to be a God to be able to do that. And that's who Jesus was. 100% man to be our substitute, but 100% God because he could handle that wrath. And he took all the wrath of the world when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? During those 3 hours on the cross, he took all the wrath. He took your whooping, past, present, and future. He's the only one that could do that. That's what we need to be saved from because we couldn't handle God's wrath on even one of our sins. Do you understand how much you need this? It's a good news and great joy will be for who? All. Unless you can qualify as not being one of the all, then you don't need, but you are one of the all. The good news of great joy that will be for all people. What's the good news? The good news is I don't have to die. I don't be afraid of death. Dude, what's the worst they can do to me right now? Is kill me. Who cares? To be absent from the body is to be present with who? God. I'm going to tell you, if I'm on life support, if you're trying to keep me alive, do not do me that favor. Don't do me that injustice. When I'm done, I'm done. I want to go be with the Lord. And you know what? If you're saved, you're going to be with the Lord too, with me in a very short period of time. And how long are we going to be with the Lord? Forever. And in heaven, there's no more separation, no more sin, no more death, no more. We're going to be together forever. How many of y'all are excited about that? Hey, look across the room or close your eyes and think about a brother or sister in Christ that you can't stand right now. Someone that irritates you. Oh, you're going to be in heaven with them forever. You're like, that doesn't sound good. That's why you need to reconcile and make up right now. We're going to be together in heaven forever. What an awesome thing. Is that not good news? Because we'll be in heaven a lot longer. Man, I've done this plenty of time. 100 grains of sand, I just picked it off the floor. 100 years of life right here. But eternity is not even close to all the grains of sand in this universe. You can hold on to this in this miserable place. You can hold on to this. Because, oh, I want to live my own life. I want to be my own boss. No, dude, surrender this to Christ and you've got it all. You've got eternity. That's the good news. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Salvation is what? What's the N word? It's thank all one of you. Salvation is needed. Help me out again. Salvation is needed. Look at this next part. Salvation has been provided. In this, so we have, here's how it's been provided. We have a Savior. Well, people, you know, different elections, people are like, oh, we got a Savior. It's happened all through generations. Oh, we get some favorable tax break. We get some favorable, oh, there's my Savior. In the book of Judges, they got a Savior. Here's their lifestyle in Judges. They were walking with God. They decide to do things on their own. Consequences came. They hit rock bottom. Oh, God, I need to be saved. God sends them a Savior. And all of a sudden, they're living with God again. Guess what? They think they're too big for their britches. They start doing what they want to do. Oh, I can come back. All of a sudden, God, I need help. And over, they went through that cycle. That was a Savior. They got over and over and again, but they suffered over and over. This is a Savior which there's going to be no more suffering once we leave this place. But right now, we can have the guarantee of it. It's called hope. And it's not a false hope like the world has. It's a guarantee. It's not a matter of if, it's when. It's a done deal. We have a Savior, and what's different about our Savior, he is who? What's that next word? Christ, the Lord. He's Christ the Lord, man. Christ is the Messiah. He's the anointed. He's a chosen one. You guys remember Adam and Eve, right? They went in the garden. Lucinda, they went in the garden. You know, his wife, you know, the wife that God gave him, right? Took from his rib. She got deceived by Satan, took all of that. You know, they ate the fruit. And after it was all done, he ate too, by the way, because he didn't really want to deal with his wife. He was scared of her and all of that. But anyways, you didn't get a new surfboard. You didn't tell her about it, did you? No, I'm just, all right. But anyways, what did God do with him at the end? What did he do with him? Pooh. He kicked him out of the garden. They ate off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So by eating off the tree, they were going to now know good. They'd look at Bob and say, ooh, there's some good and there's some evil. What did they know before they ate off the tree? What did they know? Good. All they knew was good. So by eating off the tree, that's how deceptive Satan is. They got the ability now to know what? Evil. That doesn't sound like a good deal when you think about it. How many of y'all got suckered into bad deals because you didn't pay attention? Yeah, all they know now is evil to add to the good. And so God's like, all right, now you got to make a choice. Oh, up to now, everything's supposed to just be good. You're not supposed to know about all this, but now they do. He kicks them out because the only other tree was the tree of what? Life, eternal life. How many of y'all want to be living in these bodies forever? How many of y'all are tired of these bodies? They hurt. How many of y'all know you're getting old? Y'all don't even raise your hand over here. Marley, shut up. I hear Emily going, oh, yeah. I'm like, no, no, you got no clue, sister. Yeah. Aren't you glad he put a cherubim in front to say, no, you're not eating off this tree of eternal life. But instead, he gave us Christ for eternal life. So what did he tell the woman in the curse? He said, one day, your seed. Now, do women have a seed? No, they got an egg. Man has a seed, but he's talking about the virgin birth right here. One day, your seed, your offspring that's going to be a virgin birth thing, he's going to be holy God and holy man. One day, your seed is going to crush the serpent's head, and it's going to bruise his heel. That was the first prophecy of Christ. And in that prophecy, when did they think that was going to happen? As soon as that happened, man, as soon as the Savior came, they were going to get let back into the garden, right? And they could go back to life as normal. Isn't that what everybody wants? Life is normal. Let me pay the consequences. Let me go back to normal. So they thought it was going to happen pretty instantly, right? You know what she named her first baby? What was the first baby? What's the first baby's name? Candy. Candy Cane. Cane. All right, y'all got that? First baby's name was Cain. And you know what it means? Oh, I have acquired from the Lord. God's going to let us back in. She's going to go through pain. Any women testify that childbirth is painful? Yeah, not as bad as a man cold. But it's painful, all right? But man, she went through all of this and had this baby. Yes, we're getting back in the garden. I've acquired from the Lord. And did they get back in the garden? No. So then she probably hadn't figured out how this all happened yet, but she got pregnant again after all that pain and everything and had another baby. And you know what she named that baby? What she named Cain's brother? You know what Abel in Hebrew means? It means different. If your mom named you Abel, it wasn't because of this, but it's different now. But in Hebrew, you know what Abel meant? Worthless. The second baby, why am I going to go through all of this pregnancy? Why am I going to go through this pain? Why am I going to deliver this baby? It's worthless. They're not getting me back into the garden. So how long has man been waiting for the Messiah? Forever. Since the garden. And everywhere you go in the Bible, you can cut the Bible and it bleeds. Christ is everywhere. The world's looking for not just a Savior. They're looking for the Messiah. And he said, the angel said, we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Look what he says in verse 11, JJ. When you get there, I'll show you. All right, look, he said, unto you is born this day in the city of David. That was Bethlehem, Bethlehem, house of bread. A Savior, not just a Savior, but he is Christ. This is the anointed one. This is the one you've been waiting for, that Eve was waiting for. The Lord. And what does Lord mean? What does Lord mean? Hey, bro, you serve out of rocks, right? I don't even go there because y'all prop my tires, whatever. I don't know. But I'm just saying, is he Lord of the Rocks? No, he ran away. No. Chuck's not even here right now, whatever. But what does it mean when somebody is Lord? What would that mean? You just immediately said, no, I am not Lord of the Rocks. Because if you were, what would that mean? What's that? Yeah. King, yeah, boss, in charge. Lord means whatever I say goes. I rule this place. This is where I'm at. Most of you guys think that's your home, right? No, but I rule. That's what Lord means. So he is Savior to save us from God's wrath. He is Christ, who is the anointed Messiah that we've been waiting for, and he is Lord. He is in charge. Go read Philippians chapter 2 again. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is in charge. And you're going to confess that whether he's your Savior and Lord or if he's just your Lord. And you go to hell. Everybody's going to recognize that.
For unto you, born this day, it's been provided in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. They all did that. Lying in a dog bowl, lying in a feeding trough at a public park. That's the unusual thing. Nobody was looking for a Messiah there. But that's the way God decided to do it so everybody could have access. So you're going to find this. He's been provided. And look at this, the next verse. And suddenly, so there was just one angel. How many of y'all free? What happens when you see one angel? What do you say? Okay, all right. You see, yeah, y'all are talking big now. Like, oh, I just say, ah, yeah, okay, cool. No, you're like, ah! But now suddenly, look at this. There was with the angel, suddenly with the angel was a what? A multitude of what? Dunkin' Donuts? I'm just, you know, diapers. I don't know. It was a baby shower. No, suddenly there was a multitude of the what? Read this. Y'all don't miss this. Heavenly host. Do you know who the heavenly host is? It's the army. It's the army of God. That's what the host is. Go read it in the Old Testament. Go read it in the New Testament. The heavenly host is his army. He's the one who enforces what the rules are. So here, all of a sudden, they're seeing the army of the Lord. Do you remember Elijah? You remember, that one story? Yeah, back to raising it. You were thinking about that, right? Where, man, all of a sudden, they wake up. The old man wakes up, and he's got a servant, and they see themselves surrounded by the army of the enemy. And a young guy goes, hey, wake up, old man. We're surrounded. He said, no, there's more with us than them. He said, no, you stupid old man, look. And God said, open his eyes to let him see. And the host, the army of the Lord, was way more than the army that that enemy had. You want to say something? I see smoke coming out of your ears, Matt. What do you want to say? Yeah. Yeah. That's who all of a sudden appeared with the angel. Now, you got the world's toughest physical human army surrounding you, and you're not scared because you see God's army? How powerful is God's army? Yeah, that's who this is. This isn't Handel's Messiah. Glory to God. They're not all singing. There's not a soprano section here. And an alto and a bass section. No, this is the army. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. And what were these guys doing? Savannah, what were they doing? Praising God. And they were saying, contrary to Handel's Messiah, they were saying, they weren't singing, okay? How many of y'all are glad? Woo, I can do that. Look at the next verse. Here's what they were saying. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory. Because you know what they saw? Did they see what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve? You bet they did. They saw how man had a deal where all they had to do is have fellowship with God. And the Satan, the serpent, came in and they chose to align with him instead of God. And ever since that point, man has been born with a sin nature and chooses to align with God and makes terrible mistakes and messes this world up. They've seen all of this. They know what hell is. They know what heaven is. And now the angels see that there has been a salvation provided. The bad or the bad news, the good or the good news. The angels know what the bad news is way better than us. And now they're like, glory to God, you have come up with one heck of a plan. You, God, are supposed to put your wrath on anybody who sins, but now you, God, are going to take all of your wrath in the form of Jesus, and you're going to provide them a way out. What an awesome God. What a love that is. They see the whole big picture, and they're just like, glory, glory to God in the what? In the mediocreness. No, dude, you can't praise him any more than they were praising God. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, there's now going to be peace. Not among people, but there's going to be peace between people and God. The Bible says, you come in this world, you're an enemy to God. He doesn't want, that's what Christmas is about. You don't have to stay an enemy. You can have peace with God. So on earth, peace among those with whom God is pleased. And it's not that God's pleased because you do all these good things. God chooses to put his pleasure on you. God chooses you and gives you the opportunity to please him. When he saves you, he changes you. And now you do what he wants you to do. That's how you know you're saved. You have different desires. I told you before, man, if somebody told me 40 years ago, when I was in high school, when I was in college, Flagler College, somebody would have told me that I'd be preaching this every week, I'd be in Bible studies 3 times a week, I would have said, what is this, hell on earth? Because that was not my desire. When he saved me, he gave me new desires to follow him. And I want to follow him with everything. You think, man, I don't get up here to perform or do whatever. You're like, good, because you're a pretty sorry performer. And I'm like, dude, what comes out of me is what I'm experiencing with him. I'd love to see y'all back next week. But more than that, I want to see y'all in heaven. Man, I want to see you in heaven, and I know this is the way. So glory to God, you came up with an awesome plan that nobody could come up with. And on earth, peace among those with whom God is pleased. So salvation is needed. It has now been what? And now we look at that it must be accepted. Take a look at this. Salvation must be accepted. If you really believe what God has said, you'll act on it. Dude, man. Oh. Jim, you're a pretty tough guy, right? There's probably some voltage going through this cord, right? Can you come here and just start gnawing on this? Just gnaw on it. Let me know when you get all the way down into electricity, okay? You're not going to do it? Yeah. But the Holy Spirit just shared with me, you're supposed to. No, I'm just joking. Good thing I ain't your Holy Spirit. What would happen, Jim, when you got all the way down? Would there be any outward evidence when you got down to the power that's in this cord? What would be the outward evidence? You wouldn't have a new hairdo, okay, right? But you might, dude. Hair might start be popping out all over the place. Oh, JJ, I just unplugged something. Okay, there we go. Sorry. Yeah, you'd start convulsing. There would be evidence, wouldn't there? And that's just 110. I don't think it's 220, right? Just 110, dude. And can you imagine plugging into the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and there not being any evidence? It doesn't happen. With believers, there's fruit. If he's so big and he lives inside us, shouldn't he stick out? Salvation must be accepted, and if you really believe what God said, you'll act on it. Look at this next verse. We got 2 more verses to go. When the angels went away. Now, let me ask you a question. The angel just told them there's a Savior and all that. Did the angels say, you guys go to Bethlehem? No. They just told them about it, right? And they were blown away because they were men that were looking for the Messiah. They've been waiting for the Messiah. So they heard he's there. And they're excited about that. So what's the next step? If you all of a sudden heard that in all of this slop, there's a break that's got 6-9 foot glass. Somebody's telling you, and then they send you pictures. All of you guys, what would y'all do? Y'all be like, oh, we got to go, man. You'd go check it out, wouldn't you? Yeah, guaranteed, no matter what else is going on. That's what these guys heard. There's God. They heard the Messiah's here. They heard that the good news is finally here, and that's way better than the bad news. And so when the angels went away from them, and the angels went back to heaven where they were with God, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem. It's only a little 5 mile, three to five mile away. They did have to find somebody, probably watch their sheep, I guess. I don't know. Maybe in your manger scene, you should have a whole flock of sheep because they brought them all with them. I don't know. But they said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord chose to make known to us. If God chooses to make something known to you, man, he wants you to act upon it. Don't you think? It's like, oh, well, that's good news. Okay, I'm all right. No, God reveals something to you. You got to go with it. And that's what a believer will do. That's how you know you're saved. What part of your life does he encompass? What part of your life? Is he the center of your life? Is he the main? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He wasn't telling us that so he could brag on himself. He's saying that's what all of us should be. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's how I know I'm saved, because He's my central focal point of everything that's going on in my life. I have an intimate relationship with him. So when the angels went away and them, shepherds said, well, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord's made known. Was anybody, Laura, did they have to put him in a holy headlock and drag him? Did, you know, come on, let's go. No. When you're saved, if you are elected, let's get into some theological terms. If God has given you the desire and ability to be saved, you don't come kicking and screaming. You come willingly because you understand how good the good news is and you want more and more of him. I think if you don't come that way, all you've done is tacked on some hell insurance and you need to read Matthew 7. Man, when you see how good he is and what he's offered and what he's rescued from, you want what he has to offer. Nobody has to come kicking and screaming in that way. It's like, wow, where do I get it? I can remember when I gave my life to Christ. It was Christmas 87, but it wasn't until June 27, 1988, that this dude that I had taken pre-calculus with three times and withdrew past. You know what withdraw pass means? It means you're going to fail, so you withdraw before you fail, and you don't have to pay. I dropped it three times because the dude couldn't explain to me pre-calculus. It was trigonometry and all that. I couldn't understand it with him. But the dude shows up with this other guy, this Hungarian Jew that I worked with who was born again. He brought this guy over to my house on Thursday night, and he showed me the Romans road. He showed me scripture. I could know for sure that when I give my life to Christ, that I am eternally saved. And he laid the Bible on this hassock. Anybody know what a hassock is? Man, this cloth hassock, man, that I had spilt bong water. I had spilt every drug. I had spilt alcohol. I had done sinful things on this hassock. It was covered. And I knelt down on that hassock, and he showed me where if I call upon the name of the Lord, I can be saved. Romans 10:13, and I knelt down on that hassock. I'd done every sinful thing you could ever imagine, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Nobody put me in a holy headlock. Nobody had to touch the back of my knees so I would fall. And I was actually taught that in evangelism class one time. Do you believe that, Rick? If you touch somebody back here, then they'll kneel down, and now they're closer to God. Now they'll pray. No! It's got to be on the inside. You've got the desire. He's given you the ability. You want nothing but him. I sold my soul to him. I said, it's yours. That's all I want. He's like, good, I want you to be a preacher. I'm like, who am I going to preach to? People I sold drugs to. And he said, for starters. I can't be like those guys on TV. He said, I don't want you to be like them. I want you to be like a remora, and I'm going to be your shark. You just stay stuck to me. You don't have to worry about your provisions. You don't have to worry about your power and direction. I'm going to take you places you've never dreamt of going. Man, and I am going to use you in a mighty way if you stay stuck. They have a head that helps them stay stuck to a shark. I'm going to give you a head called faith. But you're going to have to stay in my word to be able to grow that head called faith. So when the angels went away from the heaven, the shepherds looked at each other. Dude, let's go! Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went in haste. They found Mary. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So it's been provided. Salvation was needed. It's been provided. It was accepted. You know how you know you've accepted it? When you want him. When you want what he wants. And by the way, when you want what God wants, what do you get? What you want. Yeah. You want what God wants, you get what you want. And that's how you know you're saved. You want what God wants the majority of the time. So they went and they found Mary and Joseph. They found the baby. There it was, man. Cool. But once you've accepted, you got to know it's needed. It's been provided. You got to accept it. But once you've accepted it, dude, you can't keep your mouth shut. Even if you're an introvert, Dylan. And by the way, man, I saw you were like, you did awesome, man. She should be really proud of you. Stepping up, I know, man, I pulled you out of here. That's hard for you to talk like that. It's even hard for me to like pick on you right now, isn't it? Yeah, I'm, I get it. You're kind of more like my wife. That's kind of, you know, like my wife's back there. She hates when she's pointed out. And I usually have to pay for it later. Once accepted, that even the introverts, it's something so good in your life, you got to share it. Once accepted, this salvation will be shared with others. Look at this last three verses. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child.
they couldn't keep their mouth shut. It was so good. Have you ever had God answer prayer? Have you ever had God share something with you in his word, reveal something to you, and it's so exciting that you have to share it with somebody? If you're saved, you should. When they saw it, they made it known, the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But it says Mary treasured all these things up, pondering them in her heart. Probably when she was looking at her son being crucified on the cross, she was thinking of a whole lifetime of these things. And the shepherds returned. They went back home. They blew Jesus off, went back to their life. They just kind of went back to eating lamb chops and fighting lions and tigers and bears and all that, and they forgot all about Jesus. Is that what it says? No. It says the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they heard and seen as it had been told them. Review super quick. Here it is, and we're out of here. Salvation is needed. You wouldn't need the good news if there wasn't some really bad news. So if you need the good news, man, you need it. And I pray the Holy Spirit is showing that to you. I don't know anyone who's ever given their life to Christ and wish they hadn't done it sooner. But I know thousands like me that wish we'd have done it sooner. So it's needed. If you know you need it, know that salvation has been provided. We have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Salvation must be accepted. If you really believe what God has said, you'll act on it. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? And you're wondering why I put you in another line? If you call me Lord, Lord, do what I say. You have an internal desire, a new nature that desires that. That's how you know you're saved. And then once accepted, this salvation will be shared with others because he's that awesome. And I'm not saying you got to go knock on doors, but I'm just saying you start viewing life from a kingdom perspective. You know? Dylan, you know this dude right here, man? John, do you know him? Okay, you don't really know him, but if you had a fire extinguisher and his head was on fire, if he was all of a sudden on fire, would you hit him with that fire extinguisher? Like shoot him? Would you ask him permission first? Would you be worried about offending him? No, because you know he's in big trouble and you know that fire needs to be put out. I think the most introverted person would do that. But I think we get distracted. My home is heaven. Sin kept me separated from that. But one day Christ gave me the desire and ability to surrender everything I knew about myself to everything I knew about him. Now my home is secure in heaven. But while I'm here, I need to grow more in love with him. And I grow more in love with him, I grow more in love with everyone else. That's why I share it. That's what our life is. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for, I've never seen the shepherd's story this way, but Father, help us all to look in, and if we are saved, man, help us be so excited, so stoked, so just blown away that we are saved. We realize, make that salvation new to us again. Make it exciting to us again, Father, and Father, just put a new desire in us to share it with those that need it, but share it out of love. And Father, if there's someone here that doesn't know that they're saved. Maybe they know for sure they're not. Father, I pray you'd give them a desire they can't refuse to surrender everything they know about themselves to everything they know about you. And I pray for these things.